Hello, fellow followers of 42. Today's topic, we are going to be going through creationism versus Darwinism, or I'm going to generalize the term into evolutionism because there were multiple different theories of evolution. So, yeah, that will be our topic for today, but for right now, I'm going to take you on over to our sponsor, and then after that, we will be having an interview with a random person off of the street. Alrighty, listeners, sorry again for that long ad, but you know, I gotta make money to do the show. So, especially since I want to start doing interviews, and that's what we're here to do today. Now, because I don't have any sort of connections or money, our interviewee will be someone that I just pulled off of the street. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Damien.
Last name, please.
Bondorf.
Thank you. How old are you?
14.
And would you say that you have at least a basic understanding of both the evolutionism and creationism?
Basic.
Basic, okay. So that's what our topic is going to be about today. So I want you right now to just kind of sum up what Darwinism or creationism is. You can pick one or the other.
Well, I'll sum up Darwinism because it's the one I probably know most about.
If you're confused what creationism is, it is basically the belief that a deity created everything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, creationism is the belief that a deity created people as they are, as well as everything else.
There's different forms of creationism. That would be the regular Christian heard one, yes.
But yes, the most heard Christian
definition.
Definition of creationism. Everything was created as it is, and as it is today. But that does not really make sense.
Yeah, really, if you think about it, well, and especially since the Bible says we've only been here about 6,000 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we know scientifically for a fact that that's false.
Yeah. Scientifically, if you go on, like, carbon dating, we have been around for over 3 million years.
4.4 billion.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's you'll be getting into that later this year in freshman year, of course.
Yeah. Well, what I've heard is over 3 million years.
Yeah, right now, as far back as we can date, we're currently at about 4.4 billion years of how old the Earth is.
Well, yeah. How old the entire Earth is.
Yeah.
I'm meaning humanity as a whole.
Well, yeah.
Only about 3 million years old.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Okay. Yeah, humanity has not been around definitely as long as the Earth have. Hell, the only thing that can say it's older than the trees is sharks.
Yeah.
So, which brings me to another point. Why do you think that aquatic creatures were the first, you know, to really start evolving?
Well, I'm pretty sure aquatic creatures were the first ones to start evolving because of, well, them being in the water and the water having all sorts of minerals in it, and them having to adapt to be able to take in those minerals and reproduce better.
Yeah, and, well, the way I think of it is it's kind of like a womb. Right? The humanity's womb.
Yeah.
Basically. We went from a single cell organism in the Earth's womb, which is the oceans, and we grew from there like a fetus does. And the only problem was we needed the ocean to protect us. We had to have that womb because we hadn't developed an atmosphere yet. And so no sort of life besides plant life, and that took a long time.
Even scarcely plant life.
Could evolve under those circumstances.
Very scarcely could plant life even survive on the Earth's surface.
Yeah. Most of it originated from... Most of it originated from caves.
Yeah. Until we got an atmosphere and things started to evolve to get onto land.
Well, the plants were actually the direct reason we got an atmosphere.
Yeah. Using...
Photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis. Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Well, at least that's the Darwinism side of things.
Yeah.
Us evolving from the single-celled organism, first being in the ocean.
Well, most theories of evolution agree on our primordial origins being the ocean. Well, but the other evolutionary things is basically saying that we didn't evolve from monkeys and apes like Darwin had thought.
Like Darwin had thought. But, yeah.
Anything else to say about the subject before we move on?
Not really.
Alrighty, well, do you think that creationism has any valid points, and what would those points be?
Well, creationism has probably, like, a couple valid points, like how we couldn't, well, directly at least, go from a single-celled organism to what we are today. There had to have been some
guidance.
To be what we are today. The dominant species on planet Earth.
Well, so far.
So far.
I mean, not speaking on the evolution, but actually in more recent news, because, you know, evolution's been around for fucking ever. In more recent news, we have found a new organism on Earth that sounds like it comes from the fucking movies. And you're going to laugh at this one because I know you're a big Marvel fan. Symbiotes.
Well, symbiote is kind of a broader term.
But I'm meaning symbiotes
Marvel symbiotes?
Yeah, like actual Marvel symbiote type creatures have started showing up. I saw a scientific... paper on it, and of course it was online, so it had a video clip on it as well, and it was literally this black ooze that was moving around on its own, and like if you tap on the glass and stuff, it would tap back in that same spot. So what do you think of that in evolutionary terms? Like, was it creationism? Did it just come out of nowhere? Did it evolve from something, or has it always been and we just recently discovered it?
I think it might have just always been here, and we just recently discovered it. Because that would fix our evolution. See, if those symbiotes, like, attached to the single-celled organism, if it was, like, say, from Marvel or something, it would advance the cell it attached onto to survive.
Yeah.
So that could help it, like, evolve. The single cell.
Yeah, and obviously they may have always been, but everything undertakes some form of evolution. So back in those primordial days, it was probably way less advanced, and that's why evolution started out so slowly.
Yeah, until it gained a lot of speed when the Earth got an atmosphere and things were able to evolve onto land. And be able to, like, consume plant life.
Mm-hmm.
Until, apparently, those cells realized that eating other cells was a better way to gain nutrients.
Yeah.
And then we evolved into, like, being able to consume other cells to survive. Now, which is still eating plants, basically, because...
Now, here's a completely hypothetical, point. Well, question. What do you think it would be possible for humanity to one day evolve to the point where we can cut out that middleman and photosynthesize ourselves?
I don't know. It might be possible, but it would take like thousands of years for us to evolve to that point.
Well, unless there was some mass reason for it happening, because throughout history, we have had very fast evolutions due to our race, or our species, almost dying out.
Yeah, and when we almost die out, that's when we evolve to better suit our surroundings.
So say, all plant life on Earth decimated. All plant life on Earth is decimated, right? No animals remain because of it, and humans are on the brink of collapse. Do you think if they could survive long enough through that sort of apocalyptic event that they would be forced to evolve to photosynthesize since there's no other sort of energy source around?
I think we would have to be able to photosynthesize. That or start eating each other.
Yeah, and knowing humanity, that would probably be the first option, sadly.
Because, well, if you, just hypothetically, if you ate another human being, it could last you upwards of, say, 6 months?
Yeah, depending...
Nutrition?
Depending on how you cooked it, and also what parts of it you selected. And I know... Viewers, we probably sound crazy over here talking about cannibalism, but there's actual people in the world who give up the rights to their body after death to allow to be eaten. And so if you ever wanted, there is a legal way to know what human meat tastes like. That it's just as simple as that. We're not crazy, it's just the world's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So... if all plant life started dying out and we ended up eating each other, then everyone would be so scarce to go around other people because afraid of getting eaten or...
So that brings on another question to me then. If people would start avoiding each other and spacing out, what would happen? Like, we are very social creatures, so would we adapt to individualism? Because our bodies, physically, scientifically proven, cannot live without socializing with another person. Our minds decay.
I think we wouldn't go all the way by ourselves. I think we might, like, form small groups of people, say...
So, like, tribes.
Like, tribes. Like, we would be blasted back to early tribal days of having to, like, survive... on the land, which there wasn't much to even survive on because, completely hypothetically, all the plants died out, we wouldn't have anything.
Yeah.
Other than hordes of foods that people stocked up on shelves before it happened.
Yeah,
whatever major event happened.
That's going to run out fast, too.
That runs out really fast.
Well, you gotta think about your family, and then you also gotta think about raiders, security and shit like that. All of those factor into how long your supply is going to last.
Yes, but even if all the plants died out, and I just remembered this, there is an entire store of all of the plant seeds in the entire world.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up, actually.
Yeah, because if all the plant life died out on the surface... Maybe you could, say, go into a cave and, like, grow the plant. Well, not specifically a cave, like some underground bunker in simulated situations and grow the plant.
Yeah.
For substance. But, yeah.
The only problem would be getting to those seeds, because they're in fortified bunkers.
Mm-hmm.
And...
There's only a couple per continent.
There's, two.
Two.
And you want to know where they are?
Where?
North and South Africa.
America?
No, North and the North and South Poles.
Oh, North and South Poles. So yeah, you would have to make your way to the North or South Pole just to get access to those seeds.
And then you'd have to get into the highly fortified bunker.
Yeah.
But hold on. Let's move away from this subject. This has piqued my curiosity on another form of evolution. Let's move away from macro organisms like plants and animals, and let's move more into the micro organisms like viruses. When you brought up the storehouse of seeds, that reminded me that there's also a similar type bunker situation. All except this is all around different countries where we store Earth's deadliest viruses.
I know of that. Like, there's one in somewhere in the middle of America. I don't really know exactly where.
No one knows.
No one knows exactly where.
Yeah, but that brings me on to my point, though, is what if, say, well, not what if, but like, what do you think about viruses evolving? Do you think a virus can evolve, like, faster and more intelligently than humans have?
I don't know exactly if viruses could evolve faster or intelligently because, well, for one, I'm a 14-year-old off the street who only has a basic education from school.
Well, yeah. I just figured that I would test your knowledge.
That would be interesting to test to see if viruses evolved faster than humanity. Because, viruses, there are a lot of them out there, and, hell, COVID-19 currently, which evolved.
You just got me demonetized. Oh, well, let's keep going.
Sorry?
Don't say COVID-19.
Right. Well,
or corona or anything. It's the censor virus.
Oh, right. The censor virus.
Yeah.
Sorry for getting you demonetized.
But, well, shit, I lost my train of thought now.
We were talking about viruses, if they evolve faster than humanity.
Yeah, I had a... Oh, another form of evolution I want to talk to you about, since you don't know that much about viri. Artificial intelligence. The evolution of, well, not even just artificial intelligence, but the evolution of technology. Because even though we don't, it's not like natural evolution where, you know, our bodies and stuff are physically changing to adapt to the situations around us. No, technology advances much and evolves much faster because we have outside forces actively working to make it better.
Yeah. And one thing that has been confirmed is that the only reason we have, like, smaller processors and stuff like that is because of an alien ship that we completely took apart and found out how it worked.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Transistors.
Transistors, yes.
Yes, transistors was really what kick-started the whole technological revolution where our technology has grown exponentially. And by exponentially, I'm meaning that it doesn't really look like there's going to be any sort of outside force or anything that can stop how fast it's growing.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the singularity. Have you ever heard of something called the singularity?
Yes, I have. I've heard of the singularity. The singularity is when computers and technology get so advanced that they overtake humanity as the dominant.
That's close. Thing on that's close. Earth. That is close, and that's what people suggest the singularity could lead to. But the singularity is when you got half of it right. When technology advances so fast, and you know.
Well, that's the part people are afraid of, is if they take over Earth.
Yeah, but the singularity is when technology advances to the point it's indistinguishable from humanity.
Yes. Bringing up a game here, Detroit Become Human.
Okay.
In that, one of the main characters, Connor, I'm pretty sure, is an android almost indistinguishable from another human, other than, say, the serial code on him.
Yeah.
Or his
obvious
visible part. Technological parts.
Yeah, obvious noticeable things.
Yeah. And androids and humans would be indistinguishable from one another at the point of a singularity.
Uh-huh.
So
what do you think that would mean for us? Do you agree with people that if technology was so advanced it was indistinguishable from humanity, do you agree with people that technology would try and take over the world? I'm not going to say successfully take over, but that they would try to.
Well, I think they would be like humans if they were indistinguishable from human life.
Exactly.
Some would be completely fine with other humans, but there would be some radicals who would want to start an uprising.
Yeah, like
if it was indistinguishable from human life.
Well, yeah, and that brings us into human nature. Human nature for thousands of years has been war and conquering due to the creation of borders.
Yeah.
So, if the technology is indistinguishable from humanity, that would mean that they probably have the same aspirations, conquering, you know.
Yeah.
And dominating.
Yeah. If they were completely indistinguishable from humans. But I'm pretty sure no one would ever meaningfully make something more intelligent or as intelligent as humans.
So then saying that,
well, not indistinguishable from humans. They might be more intelligent, but they wouldn't be like humans.
So again,
meaningfully.
Again, saying that, how do you feel about a few years ago in the news, the first artificial intelligence to become a citizen of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Sophie, how do you feel about that? If you think people aren't actively looking for that goal, looking to try and make technology like
artificial
humans,
life, yeah.
Then what do you, how do you explain Sophie?
Well,
was it a freak accident that he created an artificial intelligence that's close to humanity, or do you think he was purposefully trying to reach that goal?
Well, still, even Sophie, she recognizes herself as distinguished from human life.
Well, yeah, but that's not really what the singularity is talking about. You would know if you were an android, and you would know if you were a human. Indistinguishable is just meaning that you wouldn't know if the person sitting next to you is an android or a human. You know who you are. Mm-hmm. You just don't know who they are.
Yeah. So what I think about that is, I don't think people would make the AI like humans. They would make it so that they would be like humans, able to talk to us and make intelligent conversations, but I don't think AI would be as war hungry as humans are.
Well, especially since, like, what we're seeing with Microsoft AI, it's being geared towards helping, mm-hmm. you know, not really even helping humanity, but just helping end world problems, like
yeah.
the hunger problem and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But there's a catch with that. If it's only, like, I was watching this video the other day. It was about philosophy of always reaching, trying to actively bring peace.
Yeah.
Everyone has a different definition of peace. So if you're actively trying to bring peace, you're doing good, at least you think. But the way you're bringing peace could be, say, conquering nations that do not want to be conquered.
Yeah. Conquering nations that might even not want to conquer other nations or cause war.
So what I'm saying about that is, if the AI, its goal is to solve world problems, and that's its only goal, it's going to do that to whatever extent. And what if it thinks humanity is the world's problem?
Well, then, yeah, we would have like a Terminator Terminator type situation.
Yeah, some Skynet bullshit.
Some Skynet
bro.
Bullshit.
And
yeah.
I ain't high enough for that Skynet bullshit right now. So, yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you for the interview. It was nice having you on the show.
We're going
to end this segment now, and viewers, I will be right back with you. Alrighty, guys. Well, I think that was a rather interesting interview. And yes, I know it's weird for me to pull a 14-year-old off the street. I was lying about that. He's my little brother. Doesn't sound as good. But, he is actually way more learned and stuff than most people are at that age. And that is the only reason I brought him on the show. Probably won't have any other 14-year-olds on the show, so don't worry about that. But I actually do think that was a very intellectual conversation, and I did enjoy the interview. I hope you guys liked it. If you have any feedback, just and you're on Anchor, just press that little voice bubble in the bottom left corner of your screen and leave me a voice clip. And who knows, if you say something that I like, you might end up on the next podcast. So, I've been Skylar Rain, and it's time for me to sign off. Y'all have a great night/day, whatever the fuck it is there.